Anyway, this talk this morning has kind of come about really in the Richard Pensker School of Preaching and Teaching, following on from his preach that he did, where he said, I'm going to just present some thoughts, go through some stuff, there's a bit of structure, and we're just going to see where we go with it. It is really just really fresh off the my kind of meetings with God over the last week and a half. And so actually I'm really excited about that, because what I have found over probably the last year is if I over plan this kind of stuff, that's when I tend to come out in the teaching and the preaching, where actually what it is we want to hear from God. So if there is a title, I have a title, and the title of this today is What Are You Taking Over in the Crossover? So what we're going to be looking at is we're crossing over into a new year, or we have crossed over, but this is the first time we have met together as a whole church. So we're thinking about what our 2018 looks like, and what we are taking over. And that taking over will reveal itself in a number of ways. And some of you will have heard some of my thoughts and my musings on Wednesday night as we met as a home group, but big church group, midweek meeting thing. It was big group. So I don't apologise for that, actually, because it's quite good sometimes to just test some of what I'm thinking at the moment and feeling. So it is a bit of a follow-on from our midweek meeting. I'm so blessed that some of what Sue's already shared this morning, there's elements of it in here, and some of what Michelle shared as well in terms of her heart for this year. So that's all really good, and we haven't conspired, so that's all really good. So as I've been seeking God for what he wants me to do in this new year, I'm just getting that sense that he wants me to be more all in. He wants me to be committed to his way and his way only. And he wants me to consider him in all things and keep him first and at the very centre of everything I do. And it was really interesting that Sue had that little testimony of needing a parking space at work. And that's such a good example. And I've had a similar experience this week where I went back into work on the 3rd, and I had in my diary a meeting to go to London the next day on the 4th, which would have been all right. But to me, that wasn't really an ideal start to the year, to have that day back in the office and then to immediately have to go to London and all the rest of it. So I just, as I was walking into work on the 3rd, I was just like, Lord, you know, I give this working day over to you. Everything I can't do all of this on my own, and we've got a huge amount of work coming up, and how it's all going to come together, I can't do it on my own. I need to be asking God every day to help me. And I just said, Lord, if there's one thing I ask of you today, is Lord, if that meeting could be cancelled or postponed, I would be so grateful for that. And I got in and I emailed this chap and just said, oh, can you confirm what the arrangements are? I've booked my travel. I didn't do the, oh, I can't make it, because that would have been really easy for me to have gone, I can't make it. I've booked all my travel, which I had my tickets ready. What's the agenda, all the rest of it? And then he phoned me back straight away and he said, hadn't somebody told you it had been cancelled? So praise God, I didn't have to go to London. But it's a real example of, again, just, you know, it's a small thing, but actually it's a big thing, and it really, really helped me out this week as I've gone through. And what I'm just getting that sense of is that I need to switch things up a gear. And so we heard last year at New Wine about needing the upgrade. I need to switch things up a gear and be prepared to dream a bit bigger, to stand stronger and firmer in my faith, to dig deeper with God, and to build better. We talked about building and the building blocks required to get us from where we need to. I need to be building better. But I suppose the long and short of it is that I need to take a few more risks in my faith. And somebody mentioned that as well. Dad, Sue, I think you mentioned taking risks, didn't you? I need to be a bit more of a risk taker. And interestingly, and this is it's a bit of a worldly example, but it kind of fits quite well with that taking risks. So on New Year's Day, a few of us went to Cheltenham horse racing. And it may be your thing, it may not be your thing, but it's kind of my thing. I quite like it. It's a good day out. But the whole betting thing is a real minefield. And I suppose it's based on elements of risk and the amount of risk that you want to take if you're going to have a little flutter. And I suppose you can compare this taking a few more risks in faith of putting just one bet on to win, rather than spreading it all across, well, I'll have one to win, and then I'm going to cover this with this, and I'll have one, and I'll do a bit of an each way thing here. And so before you know it, you've bet on every horse in the race, and you know, you can't lose. But actually, what I need to do is really, really trust God, step out in faith, take a risk on the one that's going to win. So that's really interesting. And what I need to do as well for myself is when I feel that I can't do whatever it is that I need to do, or even that I can because I'm highly capable and able to do what it might be, is I need to look to him first. And I found this lovely, lovely quote, and I don't know who this chap is, but I found this quote, the Reverend Robert Murray M'Cheyne. I don't know who he is, but he said in one of his books, for every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. And that's really my heart for this year, is that every time I look at myself, I will look to him more as I've been going through. So far this year, I've been really led to read some passages in Colossians 3. And I'm a big fan, and I would recommend it, and I'll come on to some practical stuff later, is that for this year, you know, when we've been talking about one words and naming years and all the rest of it, is that you have a scripture that is rooted in, because that's really helpful, it's really sound. And the Lord led me to Colossians 3, and verses 1 to 4 and verse 17, which I think are the verses that are going to frame my year. Now, my problem is with this is, as you know, last year when I tried to read the Bible in a year, I didn't get very far because I started reading all kinds of versions, and I'm not having that as a goal this year. I picked up the Amplified Bible again, which is a bit of a, it can be a bit of a beast, really, alongside everything else you're reading. But really, Colossians 3 and verses 1 to 4 in the Amplified, I think, really set what it is that God wants me to do. So this is Colossians 3 and verse 1 to 4. It says, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on the things of the earth, which only have a temporal value. For you died to this world, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And in the Message, it puts it like this. It says, so, if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That is where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too, the real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. And then Colossians 3:17, it really talks about that in whatever, in all things, look to him. So again, in the Amplified, it says, whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence on him, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In the Message, it says, let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. And then in another favourite translation of mine at the moment, the Passion Translation, which I've referred to before, it says, let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. So for me, I think I need to get a bit of a consistency and a bit of habituality. Is that a word? That word came up in that first thing. I need to keep focused habitually, consistently and continually, but not religiously, in what it is that he wants me to do, seeking him in every way. And I think for me, that'll be expressed through freedom and choice, not on this, I'm in fear, or I'm in under some kind of oppression, or feel intimidated to do these things. And again, I've pulled out a few key words in these scriptures, which I think are the things for me. And it is about keeping seeking him, setting my mind, keeping focus, being serious in my pursuit of God. I love that. So if you're serious about living, well, if you're serious, then act like it, show it, demonstrate it, there'll be fruit. So that's really where I'm at, I think, on the back of thinking about one words, thinking about scriptures that might frame my year. And in the course of that, I thought it'd be really good to look at three questions that we can ask ourselves as we continue to seek God for his heart for us this year, because that will take a while. It'll probably take the rest of this month, it'll probably take a bit longer for some people. So, and again, we've focused on some of these things already. So question number one, what are you taking over from 2017? So this is about those things that aren't finished, aren't complete. They're not ready to put down yet. There will be some things that there is still work to be done. There is still a level of preparation that needs to be undertaken before the end goal is reached. You'll have things in your life that you're working through that are the things that don't just stop because the new year is here. There'll be things that you'll need to continue to take with you. And I think, as Sue mentioned earlier, it's really easy, isn't it, at the beginning of a new year to focus on new things. But actually, it's a really good time as well to check whether the old things are still relevant and valid and need to keep going. So Philippians 1 and verse 6 says, again, this is the Amplified, I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who's begun a good work in you will continue to perfect it and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return. There'll be things that he needs to finish, that have begun. You don't just stop them just because we're in January. The Passion Translation says, I pray with great faith for you because I'm fully convinced that the one who began his glorious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you and will put his finishing touches to it until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. That process of maturing is an ongoing, moving feast, as Rich Penske talked about brilliantly before Christmas. There's momentum in things. Things don't just stop. We grow into them. And so for me, the word that God gave me last year was about being brave and about being unafraid. That hasn't finished. It's ongoing. It don't just stop. I haven't reached the brave thing. I'm not the bravest person in the whole world. I need to continue to outwork that. My progression in my workplace hasn't stopped yet. One of the goals I wrote down on a bit of paper in my journal last year was around that I really feel that it is time for me to step up to the next level in my workplace. I can see where it's going to come from. Just because it didn't happen by December the 31st, it's neither here nor there. It's still one of those things that I think God is going to orchestrate during the course, and I'm hoping within the course of the next 12 months, otherwise it might be that then I need to have a little look at it and say, oh, is that right? So for me, that just feels like a timing and a logistics thing. It's not that God doesn't want me to progress any further. And for some of us, as we talked about on Wednesday, your one words have evolved as you've lived with them. They've changed from one thing into another, and it might be that there's still that evolution or nurturing that needs to continue as we move into this new year. And as we have said as well, we need to take what we've gained and learned forward. As I said on Wednesday night, better never stops. I read that on something this week. Getting better, it doesn't stop, it's a continual thing. It keeps moving, and we need to not forget those real critical moments in last year where God really showed up and taught us some stuff that are just going to be those building blocks that take us into a new and wonderful year. So that's number one. What are you taking over from 2017? So slightly different play on words here for question number two. What do you need to take over in 2018? And in asking that question, what I'm thinking about here is really about what those new things might be. So what is the new thing? But also about where we need to overcome and we need to see breakthrough. And there will be many things. As Michelle said, there will be challenges that, you know, there will be challenges, and it's how we manage those and deal with those alongside God in dealing with some of these things. And they'll be hard and they'll be difficult, but we know that that is the case in the Christian walk. And Ed reminded us on Wednesday night of this passage of scripture that talks about the new thing in Isaiah 43 and verse 19. In the ESV it says, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert." The Message puts it like this. It says, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the Badlands. And the Amplified says, listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And what was really interesting for me about these scriptures is this whole thing that we need to be aware and we need to be present and we need to be listening and looking and seeing. And Rich talked about that, didn't he, on Wednesday, about that whole, for him, there was this being aware thing. And I think for us as a church, we do need to be both spiritually and practically and all of those things aware of what is going around on around us, so we can determine where we need to act. So a few questions around this. So where do you need to overcome and see a breakthrough? Is there a relationship thing? We know we need to see breakthrough with regards to prodigals and unsaved family members. There'll be probably be some finance stuff out there. Health, employment. What are the areas that you need to take authority over in 2018, that you need to take over? What are you saying yes to in this year? And this is really important, actually, because I think sometimes we do stuff, don't we? But what are you really committing your yes to? As individuals, we'll say yes to things for ourselves that God is calling us to do. Have you done that as families, as couples, as, you know, families with children? Have you sat down and gone, right, as a family this year, these are the things we are saying yes to and we're going to commit to and we're going to commit to. As a church, there'll be things in this year that we will say yes to. So that's really, really important. The next thing that's really, really important in all of this kind of new thing, thinking about what we need to take over in 2018, is where is your stretch and your challenge and the opportunity to move out of your comfort zone? And where is the opportunity to grow? Where are you going to take faith risks? So for me, I'm starting this new year, as I hope to mean to go on, and I've volunteered to do the Bristol Church's homeless shelter. That for me is a bit out of my comfort zone. So that's a bit of a risk take for me, but I feel actually it's the right thing to do. And as I've thought about things, as I've read things about what the homeless situation in our city, as I've watched programmes on telly, like the Drugs Man programme, which I've banged on about for weeks, I really got that sense that actually, God, you want me to be closer to some of these big issues in this city, and there are many. So what is your stretch? We talk at work about stretch targets, don't we, in our public sector world. What is your stretch target for this year? I wouldn't use target necessarily, but where is it that you are gonna step out? What new initiatives and areas of service do you see yourself in? Is there something that's really on your heart that actually you want to lead and develop as a thing that becomes a thing that we do as a church? There are many areas of service within this church that need people to help out. Have you thought about, actually, Lord, do you want me to say yes to, say, children's work in this year, or to youth, or to serving tea and coffee? There are many, many things where you can say yes to. Do you need a new one word because your old one has run its course? Have you sought God for your one word? And as I said already, where are the areas that we need to speak into, to be present in and be aware of, rather than just sort of drifting in and out? We need to be more, I suppose, we keep using the word intentional in our kind of thinking. Where is it that you need to put a bit of intent into? And where are we going to allow that prophetic life to live and breathe? And I think that's all about the awareness and the kind of listening and just perceiving what God might be doing with us. But just a word of caution on this, and again, I mention this probably every time I talk, the, you know, if you're going to be undertaking new things and activities, saying yes to this, that and the other, you need to remember that being busy doesn't necessarily mean that you're being purposeful. You only need to say yes to the things that God's calling you to do, not just to fill a gap because we need somebody to do it. You have to really feel the heart of God in these things and just keep that front of mind. And I talk to myself about that. But actually, I think over the course of last year, I learned to be a bit, to give myself a bit more space and a bit more time, and just say yes to the things of God. Right, so number three, what are you leaving behind? And I suppose if I was going to put a take in that, taking away, it's not really taking away, but what are you going to be leaving behind? As I said already, there'll be things that in 2017 that are done. You don't need to come back to them. They're finished, they're complete, God's done the work. You don't need to reference them any longer, except by way of testimony of what he's done. There may be some bad stuff that you need to leave behind. There'll be stuff that is no longer in the will of God. There'll also be stuff that you need to say no to in 2018, and I'll come on to that one in a minute because it's quite interesting. There'll be things that you need to let go of that are holding you back from reaching your full potential. They could be quite good, reasonable, valid things, but they'll be holding you back from helping you to get where you need to get in God. And there's going to be things that you need to let go of. And we've probably all got those things that we carry around because we carry them around. But we need to let go of them. And Philippians 3 and verse 13 to 14 says, in the Passion Translation first, I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. For some of us, we need to take that step and fasten our heart to the future, and not worry about the stuff that we don't need to take with us. The Message puts it like this. It says, I'm not saying that I have all of this together, that I have made it, but I'm well on the way for reaching out for Christ, who so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself as an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us on towards to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. And just on coming back to that saying no thing, it is okay to say no in a positive manner. And I think we do find that quite difficult sometimes, to say no to things that we know we shouldn't be involved in. You know, I really, really hold up Ian to you in this situation. Him saying no to no longer leading the worship team is not a bad thing. God told him to put it down, so he put it down. It's not that he does the kind of teenage, no, I'm not doing that anymore, because he sought God about it, and he was really firm and resolute in the, I need to say no to this now. So for some of us, there might be some things that you need to consider saying no to. And that's not an excuse for doing nothing, by the way, you know. So don't just go around saying, no, it's not in the will of God. And it's like, there'll be some things you just kind of have to do. But, yeah, just think about saying no in a different way. So sort of coming over into the kind of practical thing, which, as you know, I'm quite a big fan of the practical, in how to ensure that you kind of make this crossover well. And I've got a bit of a scriptural wrapper for this, which is really good, and it's in Proverbs 16 and verse 3, and it says, and again it comes back to this whole thing around, before you do anything, put your trust totally in God and not in yourself, then every plan you make will succeed. So there's that, before you do anything, before you even consider stepping out, taking an action. So for me, every morning, before I put my foot over the door of that workplace, Lord, I'm trusting this to you. We need to get to that place where we're doing that, and it becomes just a thing that we do. It's that habitual thing. Put God in charge of your work, then what you've planned will take place. So work here means everything, I think. It can mean paid work, it can mean voluntary work, it'll be service in the church, it'll be service in the home, all of these things. Put God in charge of it, no matter how big or small it is. And in the Amplified, it says, commit your works to the Lord, submit and trust them to him, and your plans will succeed if you respond to his will and guidance. And I could probably stop there and go, right, if you follow Proverbs 16, verse 3, you'll have it sussed. But actually, it's quite good to have some little nuggets of things to take forward. So for your one words, have you done that? Have you asked God to give you that one word for this year, ideally with a verse around it? Reread the article that Richard sent round. He resent it via email on Wednesday about that testimony of that chap with his one word and what that means. Something I read this week was around naming your year, and I suppose this is a bit of the same as having a one word. So for some of you, I don't know, you might want to name your year, I don't know, faith-filled or something like that. There might be something that you need to call out for this year. And the reason that you give it a name is because then it has an identity that can grow and be nurtured and matured as the year goes by, and it frames the year. And I think what's really important for all of us, and I know we're 7 days in, it is 7 days, isn't it? But what you don't want to do is just let this year come into existence and just sort of happen around you without intentionally thinking about what it is you want God to do for you for this year. And I think by doing this, it just creates a bit of focus and a bit of vision and a language around how you're going to approach 2018. I'm not a big fan of resolutions that tell you not to do stuff. But what I am a big fan of is making like really small like promises to yourself that help to promote not only your spiritual well-being, but your emotional and physical well-being too. So I suggest you do that. And that's about looking after you. And if that's about, right, I'm going to promise to myself that I'm going to take 5 minutes to have a cup of coffee on my own in quiet and do that, and that's going to look after you, then, you know, great, do it. I think these small self-promises are about giving. They're not something that's going to take away. So you might say, oh, I'm going to give up X. And then you get 7 days in and you haven't done that. So it is all about actually that putting yourself in that place where you can be well in yourself. I think these are places that should expand you and not restrict you from doing things. So again, read the UCB notes that Rich sent round about resolutions, because it just helps you to see these things in a different way. I've got life goals on here because I think it is good to have goals, but I think you just need to hold them lightly and not necessarily restrict them to a time frame, because I think in doing that sometimes we can end up disappointed because things haven't happened by a certain time. But that, as we know, is because God does things in his time. And I think it is important to list down those things that you would like to achieve. I mean, last year I had stuff around losing weight, which I did, but again, that's an ongoing thing. I want to lose some more this year, so I will continue with that. We had some silly ones on there. Well, I did some about visiting more National Trust places because we had this membership, and we did that. I had a thing about a promotion at work. That hasn't come to pass yet. It's still a life goal, and it's still relevant, and it's still on there. I can't remember what else. Oh, we had a decluttering one. That one never ends. But the loft was on there, and we did the loft. So, again, think about some of these life goals that you want to see, and get them down on paper. Next one, good works. Do some. Quite simple, really. Be like Jesus, who went around doing good. There'll always be some good things that we can be doing. I was really heartened by Emma, and sorry, Emma, I threw my Christmas cards away. Emma's, you know, doing some good there by collecting these old Christmas cards, and she's going to send them off, and they'll be able to be used in a women's prison. Easy, simple. Didn't need to have a meeting about it. We didn't need to do anything major. She's just got on, and she's done something good. We can all be kind. So just practice kindness in the stuff. And one thing I would really recommend you do in this year as well is capture your memories. And however you do that, and we are all different in this, but I really think, you know, capturing your memories is really, really important. And I like to use a bit of social media wisely. I like to capture important things on Instagram, and I like to share those, particularly where like God might be doing something or we've had a fun time. I wrote down all my memories last year, and that was really, really powerful, because at the end of the summer, when I came to write a bit of a "this is the end of the summer," there were so many good things I could look back on and thank God for. And I would just, it's not the big events. It could be something very small, like, I don't know, you had a nice time, like Alison would have a nice time out in the garden, or see a new flower shoot. That could just be a really nice thing that you want to note down and come back to at another time. This year, I've bought a one-line-a-day journal, where I can capture one line a day of what my day looked like, what I felt in that day. It might be a scripture, it might be this. And it's a five-year diary as well, so I should be doing that over the next 5 years and seeing how the same day evolves over the next 5 years. I just thought that would be good. Yeah, and again, I sometimes, like, these memories can come out of just really, really simple stuff. And what happens, you find yourself having a really, really nice time, and then God kind of moves in and does something really powerful. One of my favourite memories from last year was when Sue had her birthday, we all went for a few drinks in the Golden Heart, and we were having a great time. And then Rich and Kim came in, if you remember. They'd been in Cannon Valley with Luke and Samantha, and we just started sharing heart about this sponsor a pastor thing. And that's where that thing came to life, was in that moment of celebrating a birthday, but then moving into talking about the things of God. And that was one of those things that I wrote down in my memories. And it's just, it kind of comes back to that acknowledging him in everything, in the whatever you do. So I just would really, really encourage you to note down those things, or capture them, take a picture, do it however you want to do it. I'm really excited about our small groups and the opportunity that they are going to offer for personal expansion, as a place to share dreams and hopes and ambitions, to do some stuff, to get out there. I'm really excited about that. And I said to Tina as we came in for our group, I'm really in anticipation about what God will do, but it's going to take time. We're not going to start next week with a structure in place and we're going to be doing this. We're going to evolve, and we're going to move together to work out what that group looks like and what God's going to do with us. So again, use your small groups as a place to test your word, you know, share your dreams, bring these things to life. I think that's going to be really valuable. And then lastly, be really thankful always. Rejoice always, giving thanks in all circumstances. It is so powerful, even in the depths of despair or the challenges of life or the things where it's just really hard. You know, a number of us have had hard Christmases because of sickness or whatever it may be, or we've been really, really busy at work this week, which is, you know, it's just relentless sometimes. But we must always be thankful. So that's just a few practical pointers. You don't have to do all of them. Try and pick what might work for you. So in conclusion, I think we have so much to look forward to, so much to be expectant for, to prepare for, not only as ourselves, as families, but as the wider church. You know, when I read that pastor's report from Richard, there is so much that this small gathering of people are involved in. It's huge. And it's just amazing, and it's just overwhelming sometimes, the things that we contribute to, that we get stuck into. There's going to be more of that, and I'm really excited about that. And Revelation 3 verse 8 in the Message says, "I see what you've done, now see what I've done. I've opened a door before you that no one can slam shut." And I think there is that real sense that the door is open for us to enter into what I think is just going to be the best year yet for us. The best life yet for some of you. Some of you, you know, might have had really tough times, but for this year, I really hope and pray that you will have the best year yet. But it's up to us to take that step forward through the door into the fullness of what that means for us. We can't remain standing still. So for me, I'm in faith for a year that is characterised always by freedom, that is varied, that is not the same, that it'll give us room for expansion, that is fun and faith-filled. But it's going to also bear fruit. And I just really, really feel that as we're led by the Holy Spirit in love, kindness, generosity, and I think importantly for us this year, it was a word that came out on Wednesday night, with gentleness in our hearts, we are going to see God do so much more than we could ever perceive now as we walk with him. Amen.